CampYell.ca newsroom for this week. Marty Thompson and Charlie O'Connor Clark back for another week as we anxiously anticipate the start of the 2021 CPL season. We have stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah, finally.
Let's quickly fire through this. The women's national team roster was announced on Thursday, just the day after we're recording this, for a couple friendlies before the Olympics. Let's just quickly talk about who was selected, because clearly this group is getting a prime opportunity to show itself before Tokyo. What did you make of the squad? What are some highlights out of it?
Well, who is selected is pretty much everyone.
That's the other issue. Yes, that's the other issue. I think it's 23 players, right?
28
or more. 28.
Yeah, it's a big squad. I think this is probably the strongest women's national team squad we've seen this year, though. Because, I mean, Kadisha Buchanan comes back in. I think that's the big one. She hasn't played for the national team since, I guess, last March. So certainly not under Bev Priestman, which is awesome to have her back in. Other than that, I mean, all of the, you know, the regular stars are in here. Sinclair, you know, so on. And there's a couple of young players that people are excited to see. I mean, Chloe Lacasse is back in. I think she was at the British camp, but she didn't play. She'd be an interesting one to see if she gets a cap. And then Bianca St. George is in as well. She missed, I think, both of the last two camps because of injury. She's a pretty exciting fullback that I think a lot of people are kind of interested to see what she can do at this level. Could be a bit of a wild card. So it's honestly on the whole, it's like everybody is here. It's a very strong squad. I think pretty much the Olympic squad will be picked from this number. You just cut whoever the bottom 10 are from this group. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, Kaylin Sheridan's in as well after her injury.
Yeah.
So
you say that everyone's in, but Diana Matheson is not in.
Everybody except for Diana Matheson.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty telling, to be honest.
Yes, it is. And Bev Priestman took a comment during the press conference yesterday after the squad announcement. And, you know, it is what it is, right? She's not healthy, not ready. So that's probably it for her for the Olympics. It's crazy. I mean, she's made over 200 appearances and, you know, was part of both of those squads that medaled. So it's really unfortunate not to have her there. What are some names that we should be looking out for this camp, specifically with the idea that there are spots still up for grabs? Two games, one against the Czech Republic and another against Brazil, which is interesting as a rematch of the She Believes Cup where Canada lost. Give us some names. Who's on the bubble here?
There's definitely, I think most of the spots are pretty much full, but you maybe look to see if there's any, like, I'd be kind of interested to see who starts these games in goal, whether it's, you know, Sheridan or Steph Labbe. Could be either. I would assume they're both going to Tokyo, but this might be a kind of situation where you give Sheridan the games to see if she can win her starting spot back. Maybe you start to wonder if Evelyn Vian can still, you know, push her way up the chart. And I think after the last camp, we talked about whether or not she might be able to pass Jordan Heidema even for that spot. And I think that's maybe the battle that you're watching for in this camp. Cause there aren't actually a lot of spots to maybe be won here because just the Olympic squad is so small and there's so little space for, you know, like there's no space for luxury players or players that, you know, you aren't necessarily comfortable with starting in a big game. Maybe be interested to see Sophie Schmidt and Desiree Scott. I don't know if both of them can be on the Olympic team either.
That's interesting. Yeah. This team is in just such a is in transition in such an interesting way, right? Where you have two of those players as well. Like, you're right. Like, could they both go?
I think you probably want to bring Desiree Scott to the Olympics just for her kind of versatility. She's maybe the only kind of real ball winning midfielder that they have at the moment. And she can also play center back as well. And she's looked a little better than Schmidt, I think, in the very short sample size. But there's definitely a few kind of individual battles that I think we should be looking at here. It'd be interesting to see just even tactically how Priestman is kind of setting up this team, because I think she's really going to especially use this Brazil game as a proper kind of preview tune-up for the Olympic tournament. So I think there's definitely a lot to be looking out for.
Okay, two games again against the Czech Republic on June 11th and then Brazil on June 14th. Bev Priestman saying that a full Olympic squad will be announced somewhere around 10 days after those games. So we should be getting it. I mean, that's still almost a month away. Who am I kidding? We still have a long time to wait.
Yeah, we do.
And then, okay, switching to the men's game, we have our Canadian men's national team, our annual depth chart coming up here. But we should mention James Griffard from HFX Wanderers getting called up to the Haitian national team. I asked him just before he went live here if he's excited to play Canada. He said, it's different beating Canada. It's like beating your brother. Of course, yeah. He was born in Montreal. So if Haiti does move on past this group and Canada does, then they'll play each other. But
I'm going to knock on wood that we do get to see that matchup. But
and that's what I told him. I was like, you know what? This is yet to happen, but it'd be nice. It would be just nice to see. You have to beat Canada again.
It'll certainly be a conflicting afternoon for Stephen Hart to watch.
I was talking to some Halifax staffers. They're in the same boat. Yes, yeah. Stephen would also be. Congratulations to James. We'll be looking forward to that. A big game against Nicaragua. That'll be a group decider when Canada, around the same time, rather, Canada plays Suriname. So we know, yes, we'll move on to the men's national team here now. Two big games coming up. Suriname is the big one. We've talked about it at length already on this show. We know that the squad for these two qualifiers, the other one against Aruba, is coming out probably this weekend. It has to be pretty soon because the first game.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, the first game's coming up rather soon. So without further ado, we decided to go through the men's national team pool, frankly, during a very difficult time.
Let's go. I'm excited.
A very difficult time to go through the pool and try to parse out what a depth chart actually is, because there has been two competitive games in 16, 18 months.
Long time. Like lot of new players have come into the fold in that time.
Which just means more debate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I cannot wait to be yelled at on Twitter for how right we are.
It'll be time to log off. You're going to have to log off. Okay.
It's always hard to log off.
Let's start with the goalkeepers. So, obviously, Milan Borjan is number one here. That's not really a debate, but it really does come down to these second and third slots, especially with something like World Cup qualifiers coming up, Charlie. Like, we've got Maxime Crépeau in second, but Dane St. Clair, Minnesota United, he could easily find a spot in that second slot, right?
Oh, yeah. I think St. Clair has probably been better than Crépeau at the club level for, I don't know, if at least maybe probably almost a year. And I think this is one of those situations where the tie goes to the guy that's been around the national team setup a little bit more. And I think we actually have a few of those situations coming up here in other positions, but... Yeah, I think just because Crépeau has been kind of the de facto number two for probably about 2 years now, it's still his spot to lose. But St. Clair is hot on his heels, and I think he will be put into one of these games sooner rather than later, just to see what he's got.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Also, James Pantemis, Marco Carducci.
Two former
CPLer, and obviously Marco going up for Calvary FC. Okay, fullbacks. That's right. Alfonso Davies not on this one. We'll get to him later. of course, with any Canadian men's national team depth chart, it just comes down to where Alfonso Davies is. Yeah. So up the left, Sam Adekube is our first choice left back, and then Richie Larea on the right. After that, Charlie, what are we looking at?
Yeah, I think the real interesting name here is Christian Gutierrez, who we haven't seen play yet for Canada. It was a pretty good coup to get him to commit to Canada. So now that he's been getting into a few camps and you kind of hope to see what he's got. So we don't really know exactly where to slot him in this. I think when we were putting this together, it stood out to me that this position is actually a little deeper than I thought it was for Canada. Because I maybe 2 years ago we would have been like, well, I don't know who could play either fullback position other than Davies, which is part of the reason that you would have maybe thought he might play there. But now you've got Adekubi on the left, you got Gutierrez, you got Juan Cordova, and then you got the younger guys like Bassong and Diadine Abzi at York United. So I think you've got plenty of talent out there on the left, which is kind of interesting. All of a sudden, you've got depth there.
And then, I mean, right back was always a bit of a thing with the men's national team. But now, you know, realistically, with Larea, Zachary Brocchiard, and Alistair Johnson, you have conceivably three starting right backs in MLS.
Yeah.
And like that in all younger players. And then obviously Mo Farsi and Caden Jung of Calvary FC and Pacific FC as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was hard for me not to put Caden Jung way further up because I just think he's so good and is going to end up playing for this team one day. But I think that we should probably call out where Marty originally slotted Zachary Brocchiard on his personal depth chart.
All right. I had him number one. I had him above Larea.
Yeah. I want to put you on blast for that. I want you to take the heat for that.
I'm sick and tired of all this Toronto bias, you know, just because Larea plays for Toronto FC. Well, something makes me think the same way that you believe that Ken Chung's going to emerge. I just think Zachary Brocchiard has everything needed to be challenging Larea soon. And then frankly, he might be able to beat him. I think he was really good at the Olympic qualifying. You know, again, he's maybe played like a little bit more of an attacking role to what Canada will be expecting from a right back,
yeah,
especially if Alphonso Davies plays on the left. But at the same time, like I think he's really good. He's young, and clearly Herdman has liked him. He's got tons of call up. He's been included like in many camps. So mm-hmm. I just think he's there.
Yeah, I mean, Brocchiard certainly does keep getting brought back into the fold. I think Alistair Johnston is a very interesting one because he's a very different kind of fullback to Larea or Brocchiard. He's, you know, a little bit more well-rounded. He can kind of win the ball back for you a little bit more. He's not as fast, maybe not as much attacking upside, but I really do think that he's a guy that there's a lot of use for, especially in games against bigger opponents, which we're, again, knocking on wood, hopefully going to see in the fall. So I think Johnston is probably going to get a few more runs out, especially kind of maybe at the Gold Cup or something like that, because I do think that that's a kind of player that Canada is going to have a lot of use for.
Scored for Canada as well.
He did.
In the last camp. Okay.
Everybody did, though, to be fair.
Speaking about newfound depth, central midfield. We paired it down to just 10 players. Obviously, you know, there are multiple positions, three, or, you know, as you mentioned in your piece today, Charlie, you know, it could be four as well, depending mm-hmm. on how Herdman wants to play. But in terms of that central midfield position, this is what we have. Atiba Hutchinson, still first pick. Love it. Always. Samuel Piette mm-hmm. behind that. And then Eustachio, Marc-Anthony Kay, and Jonathan Osorio round out the top five. Scott Arfield, a little low on this one.
Yeah.
I mean, consider we don't know what his future is with the men's national team, of course, yeah. But realistically, this is a pretty strong core.
Yes.
You know, in especially with Steven Eustachio on the rise, right?
This is easily the best midfield Canada has had in probably at least a decade, if not more. It's really interesting just to see how many kinds of players there are in here, and it's just, I have no idea how you get them all on the pitch together. You probably don't do that. But yeah, I think it's fairly straightforward that there's kind of a group of 5 years, six if you include Arfield, which we're still unsure if we should or not. But there's kind of a group here of kind of the core guys who could be in contention to start any given game against any opponent. And then mm-hmm. you've got, you know, a whole load of depth guys. Some of them are older veterans like Russell Tybert, David Weatherspoon. And then you've got younger guys that maybe are on the rise. Like, I guess Liam Fraser's been on the rise for, it feels like, 5 years now. But I mean, Noble Akello, and then there's plenty of guys that didn't quite make our 10, you know, like the Michael Baldissimos and Patrick Metcalfs or Ralph Prezzo, whatever. But yeah, I think Marty, you wanted to talk about Sam Piette and Steven Eustachio.
I think those should probably be swapped, or they will be soon. Mm-hmm.
I think so.
I think Sammy Piette should play for Canada for as long as he wants. I think he's been great. But at the same time, like, Eustachio might end up playing in the Champions League next year, right? Something we talked about last week. So, you know, I think those will end up being swapped. And I've just realized that I did skip ahead from the center backs. So we'll have to go back.
Well, we'll come back to that right now. But yeah.
No, this score is good.
You're right, about Eustachio, depending on where he goes. I think Sammy Piette always gets an extra, like, 3 spots up just because he tucks his shirt in. he's that kind of midfield, and he's like, Canada only has one kind of Sammy Piette, right? They don't have any other players that are like that.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, we're gonna now go back to the center back position. Derek Cornelius, a number one pick here. Steven Vitoria, Kamal Miller, Daniil Henry, rounding out the top four. That's the thing with this grouping, Charlie. Are we missing someone? It just feels like we're missing someone because Canada hasn't played that many games. and maybe this is, I mean, it's not even a maybe. This is Canada's weakest position right now. Where did you sort of end up with this ranking here?
Well, yeah, I think there's basically 4 at the top here that you could conceivably throw into a game against a big opponent. It depends on kind of what the plan is for Daniil Henry, because he's been sort of drifting away from the national team for a little bit, had some pretty iffy performances, but he's been really good in Korea since he moved there over the last year. And I think, Marty, you were saying that you would like to see him brought back into the fold and given another opportunity.
Well, this is the tricky part about putting together a depth chart with so few games, right? Because the 2019 Gold Cup, it was Cornelius and it was Daniil Henry.
Yeah. And then we haven't seen him since, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just a sort of a tough spot to be. I think he still deserves a chance here. Elsewhere, lots of CPL content in here. Joel Waterman is 5th best center back, which I love that, above Ricardo Ferreira, who is without a club right now and obviously committed to Canada quite recently. And then Amir Didic and Dominic Sator making the top 10 as well here.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of CPL content. I mean, I think any of Waterman, Didic, Sator, I'd be totally fine with playing any of those guys. I mean, Didic has, it seems like John Herdman really likes Joel Waterman. He keeps bringing him into camps. I think he's still waiting to get some more time on the field, but Waterman's rise up the depth chart in the last like 2 years has been just insane.
But CPLU Sports draft pick,
yeah, just out of nowhere. And then Didic is great. He's probably, I don't know if there's any of those guys that would be better than Didic at, you know, defending a set piece, because he's just so good in the air that and he's really tall, which is something that you can't teach and something that you really, really need in a center back, especially in CONCACAF. But yeah, I could totally see any of those CPL guys getting a chance.
Someday, really to rise soon. Up, right? Yeah, exactly. Just to rise up those rankings. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's switch to wingers. Alfonso Davies. There, who? I said it. Alfonso Davies and Jonathan David, of course, first picks on the left and the right. This seemed like a surprising consensus among the people that voted in this, right? Because you have like Liam Miller, Junior Hoilett. Okay, fair enough. Like Tejon Buchanan, from his performances at the Olympic qualifying tournament, for sure. And he continues to play well in MLS. Like Marco Bustos, for sure. He was invited into the January camp. And then on the left side, like, you know, Corbiani, obviously. Jaden Nelson makes sense. Bellu Tabla, sure. Like, like what? No. I mean, honestly, this doesn't seem as debatable, perhaps. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you've got such incredible talent at the top, it's almost like it doesn't matter as much.
But I wouldn't say that.
Yeah,
like, junior. Right. Okay, you have Junior Hoilett and Liam Miller underneath.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Like those are significant great. Players. They're very, great. Very significant.
I actually think that again, this is maybe a case where a year and a half, maybe down the line, 2 and 3 might be switched on the left there, because Theo Corbiano could totally come in and definitely surpass Liam Miller if he gets a run of games at the club level and continues to be what we saw in the World Cup qualifiers for Canada. So he's definitely a player everybody's really excited about, and I think realistically, sooner rather than later, he'll be the first guy off the bench in the attack. And then on the right, I mean, yeah, Junior Hoilett, man, he's still good. He's looking for a club at the moment, so anybody who knows of one should give him a call. But I don't think he's quite done with the national team yet. He's got plenty left to give. But exactly. Yeah, we should add as well. I mean, we threw Marco Bustos and Tristan Borges onto the right side here at the bottom of our top five, which is fun.
I don't know. You tell
objectively, that's fun.
Considering that Marco was called into that January camp, I don't think it's that far fetched. It's really not.
See another MVP worthy year in the CPL. Mm-hmm. Totally, you're on the board. You're definitely on the radar.
Okay, let's finish this with striker, center forward, Kyle Larin. This is an interesting one, right? Because if we go back to when the US played Canada in the Nations League, I think 1 and 2 are switched.
Yeah, for sure.
Lucas Cavallini being number one. We'll talk about the third pick later. But I mean, just obviously Kyle Larin just rising to the top, right? That's a no-brainer after his 20-goal performance in Turkey this year.
Yeah, you just look at how incredible Kyle Laren's season was for Besiktas, and you cannot justify putting anybody ahead of him on this team, mm-hmm. right? He's just been so good and scoring goals in maybe ways that we haven't seen him score them in the past, because his work rate has been a lot better this year. He's just been a completely new player, I think, after he had his little loan stint in Belgium and he came back to Turkey, and he's just been phenomenal. Even when we saw him briefly in those World Cup qualifiers in March, he was amazing. He scored a bunch of goals. He worked really well with Alphonso Davies. Lucas Cavallini is a great player, man, but he is on form easily second to Kyle Larin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Daniel Jevonson, third.
Mm-hmm.
I should have put the asterisk there. He's with the England youth setup at the moment. Obviously eligible for Canada, obviously scored for Sheffield United in the Premier League this month. Why is he above Teshu Akindele and Theo Bear?
Because he's really good. anybody I think who can start a game in the Premier League and score a goal should be on this list, even if they haven't committed to Canada. Which, by the way, I mean, Daniel, dude, come on. Why? don't do the Tomori thing. Don't chase like a cap with England. Just come play for Canada. It'll be fine. Yeah, he's a. It's hard to get much of a read on him, because he hasn't played a whole lot at even just a first team level anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's good enough for a Premier League team to be really excited about him, which should be good enough for us, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough. And again, just shows how futile this entire process is, that we're giving someone like him a third spot, but like, because we just haven't seen Canada play.
Yep.
That's kind of what it comes down to. Okay, of course, the men's national team back in World Cup qualifiers next month, those games on One Soccer. Again, the squad announcement coming out, we think sometime this weekend. Just as we were talking, Canada Soccer put out a media advisory for a chat with John Herdman at about noon tomorrow. So hopefully sometime in the morning on Saturday, tomorrow as we're recording this. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, honestly, there's some big, like, again, the Suriname game is a must win. Very important game, considering how good their squad is. Okay, before we go, we wanted to leave a little interview that I ended up doing this week, bringing this back to the CPL with Darren and Martin in Austria. Charlie, do you want to explain this story to people?
I mean, I can try. It's just so cool. So it sounds like just this, you obviously have a better read on it, but I think it's just this kid in Austria, right? He was, I don't know, looking up football highlights, and he found Corey Bent playing at the Island Games for the Halifax Wanderers, and he just like fell in love with this player.
Yeah, Corey Bent. I talked to Corey about this story, and his quote was, "I've never been to Austria. I've never been close." Darren, this is obviously a very cute interview for sure. He loves Corey Bent, got a signed jersey for his birthday and all that. So we'll throw to this. And again, hopefully this will warm your heart. Hopefully we'll have more on the CPL season coming up in the next week or two. Fingers crossed, next week we'll have something maybe to give Darren something to be excited about.
Okay, so the question that I think will be on everyone's mind watching this is, how the hell did you guys end up liking the Halifax Wanderers?
I think it's beginning last year in August. Mm-hmm. Darren comes to me and say, sorry, Dad, can I have your phone? I will watch soccer videos on YouTube. And I think 1 hour later he comes, oh my God, Dad, you know Corey Bent? And I, huh? Who? Corey Bent. He's the best player in the world. He plays by the one who have seen Canada. Oh, okay. And that was the beginning from the story. And then he comes to me and said, I have on my birthday that my biggest wish is it's a jersey from Corey. You know it's possible? And I think, oh my God, how I can do that? Yeah, and so I watched on Instagram, and I find Corey Bent, and I write him, and yeah, was really cool, and he's so a nice guy, and yeah, dreams can really come true.
What drew you to Corey Bent? Why? How did you come across this game, and then what made you think, holy cow, this Corey Bent guy is special? What drew you to him?
It's Darren comes to me on this day, and he said, Dad, please forget Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. Corey, it's the fastest player in the world, the best striker in the world. He's so great, and yeah.
And then, how did you get the jersey? How did you get the kit?
I write Corey, and yeah, he was very happy, and he said, of course, we can do that. And I think 4 or 5 weeks later, yeah, we have the jersey.
Amazing. What's it? Do you keep in close contact with Corey? Like what has he said to you guys?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, I think one day in the week we have contact.
Really? Eh? Nice.
Yeah, yeah. We write with him and yeah. Last week, Corey have her his birthday. We write with him and we congratulate him. And it's a German player by one of us, Peter Schale. And yeah, we have contact.
That's amazing. Peter would be a great translator, for sure. So yeah. What's next? Are you guys going to try to come to Halifax to see a game? And what's next for your guys' fandom of the Halifax Wanderers and Corey Bent?
Well, the biggest wish from Devon, it's a game to watch in the stadium in Canada, but it's not so easy. Yeah, it's a big distance, Austria to Canada, and this the situation now with COVID, it's not so easy, but yeah. We are big fans from the Wanderers and from Curry Band, and yeah, maybe in the next years we can go to see a live game with Wanderers.
And then, sorry, how is your English, Derek? Does he speak English? Could he understand me right now?
Kannst du Englisch? Nein.
Nein.
Ist nicht so.
Nah, really? Okay.
Nicht so what? Gut. Nicht so gut.
I love that. Why don't we do a bit of translation then? Because I want to ask him a couple questions. So if that's okay. So if you don't mind translating. So I guess like I wanted to ask specifically about Corey, about him finding that game on YouTube. Like, does he like how does he come across this game? I'm just genuinely curious.
Hast du von Corey die Spiele auf YouTube gefunden? Na, wie hast du sie gefunden? Wie hast du sie gesucht damals?
Ich habe einfach Spiele Corey angegeben. Band. Okay. Also Band habe ich
okay.
angegeben.
Okay. Yeah, he says he gives the name Corey on YouTube and he find Corey Band and he watched that games from him. Hmm. And that was the beginning.
And then what makes Corey Band better than Leo Messi?
Was macht Corey Band besser wie Lionel Messi?
Tricksen und yeah. Schießen.
Okay, okay.
Und warte, eine Sache noch. Gurkel schießen.
Das kann ich dir sagen, okay. He said, he's so fast and he have so Technik. Yeah, and it's better.
Messi is not so good. And like, I also want to ask, like, you can also talk to Corey, right? Like in Canada, like I'm sure you know that the league's only been around for you know 2 years, and yeah. you know the big kicker with a place like Halifax is if I'm a youth player, like I don't ever get to meet a professional, I don't ever even get to see the professional game. So for people in Canada, that's a big deal to talk to like someone like Corey. So maybe that's my question to you is like. You know, you love this player and he immediately reaches out to you and you start talking to him. Like, how did that make you feel maybe talking to Corey Bent for the first time?
Wie hast du dich gefühlt, als du das erste Mal mit Corey ins Gespräch gekommen bist, also wie du mit ihm geschrieben hast und mit dem Geschenk?
Ich war sehr erschrocken, dass es gekommen ist und ich war sehr, sehr glücklich.
Okay. Devon says he was very proud in the school. He tells everybody his best friend is Corey Band, professional soccer player from Canada. And yeah, the first time he was very nervous because Corey is a professional football player. And yeah, he was very nervous.
But can you attest to that? Was he very nervous?
I?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, could you tell he was nervous?
Yeah, I said to Darren, it comes a present for his birthday, and when the gift comes, he cried. It's wow. Oh my God, Dad! Oh my, I cannot believe it! It's the jersey from Corey Band! Oh my God! And he cried, and in the next moment, he have the phone. He called. Every person from the club, from her school, from his school, and says, "Oh my God, I have the gift from Corey Band. I'm so proud. I'm so proud." Yeah, it was so cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, one final question for both of you. Maybe Derek can go first. What do you make of the Halifax Wanderers this year? How are they going to do?
Was glaubst du, was die Halifax dieses Jahr erreichen?
Was ist Halifax?
Die Wanderers.
Den ersten Platz.
Der one says, he hope the Wanderers can win the league. And now I think it's a good team, yeah, with a lot of young players, and I think they have good chances in this year.
We'll bring the Wanderers have to come to you guys, I think. Corey has to come to you.
Yeah, of course he can come.
he'll have a place to stay anyways. Okay, thanks so much, guys. That was awesome.
Thank you.